at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive, the number 2, thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will host on Fridays, Hawk on Thursdays, Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays, Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These are trying times that look to be getting more and more challenging every day. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas, health that you will need to survive and thrive in these challenging times. Please keep in mind that these shows do cost money to air, and presently EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network, and your own health and ability to thrive in these times. Go to survive2thrive.net, that's www.survive2thrive.net, and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238, that's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com, that's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product can extend the life of your dehydrated food supplies by 1/3, simply by taking 1 tablespoon a day. In essence, the EnerFood and coconut combined constitute a meal replacement, so that can extend the life of your stored foods. And in addition to giving you energy and nutrition that your body needs, it has a 2-year shelf life. Take a look also at the organic Coco Mojo and coffee, as well as our other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners from time to time, so be sure to tune in often for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on these shows is truly helpful. We want to help reduce physical and other forms of suffering for you, your family, and community today and in the times that are coming. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao, and today is Tuesday, January 25th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. Well, it's now approaching the end of January, and this month seems to be flying by. Have you noticed that, folks? And most likely, to most of the citizens of the United Sleepers of America, it's just another month in a new year. I recently heard just a few days ago that Obama's numbers are up because the economy is in recovery. Isn't that amazing, folks? Over the last few weeks, we have been revealing sources and truth of how this economy is unraveling and melting. But still, the media has their charade. Obama's numbers are up because he's forging a recovery with his amazing economic alchemy. And after all, if the media says it, it's true. Right, folks? But I guess that's why they recruited him. Mr. Obama is a master salesman. And as he recites his magnificent State of the Union poetry, I wonder how many of the voting population will listen with great amazement. How many will find themselves getting misty-eyed? Most likely, there will be many. After all, he is admired and at times almost worshipped by the throngs. But I guess that's his job, to stand behind podiums and pretend. Right, folks? Over the past few weeks, I have shared that the dollar is going to, at some point, become confetti. And I wonder, will it be dollar store confetti or wood stove confetti? Either way, its future looks dire and bleak. The dollar's future looks determined to be trampled under the feet of other countries of the world. It's coming, folks. It's already underway. It's occurring right now. And last week I shared that it has been decided by the world. The New World Order has announced it. The IMF has actually published it. And the Holy Spirit has confirmed it. And I also shared that a devaluation of the dollar is coming. And I want to comment on that for a moment. We've been told that it's going to be a sudden thing. We got to qualify what sudden means. Now, I am assuming that when this happens, it's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen as a surprise. The thing that we do not know is the devaluation and the introduction to a global currency going to also occur with a major event in the world. In other words, is it going to happen as a result of something that's going on in the world, like a catastrophe? Or will it occur because the economy is simply in a free fall? Will it occur because a terrorist attack happens? I don't know, folks. Whatever causes it to be announced, it's going to be very dramatic. It would seem that it would have to be a very dramatic episode, something historical in nature. So that leaves me wondering what kind of event could do something. I guess we'll see, huh, folks? I do know this. The Holy Spirit has been warning for several years now. Those of you that are regular listeners have heard me share those things. If you're a new listener, again, you can go to my website and listen to previous programs where I talk about these things. But getting back to the devaluation, if the devaluation happens quickly, a lot of us hear that and it's very disturbing because automatically we do the math and make mental notes. A 50% devaluation basically means that imports from other countries would double in price. In addition to a quick devaluation that is very disturbing and painful, I've actually been doing some thinking, folks. If we look over the dollar's performance over the span of, for example, the last 10 years since 2001, we can actually see that over the last 10 years, the dollar has lost value. So right now, the dollar is actually devaluing in slow motion. And this has been going on for a while now. Of course, when we look at that scenario, most people just dismiss it as the bouts of inflation. And that's just the way it goes. But when we look at how much value the dollar has lost over the past 10 years, folks, it's very painful. Look how much cars went up in the last 10 years, and imports, and clothes. In addition to a quick devaluation, we have already been witnessing a slow motion devaluation. So actually, folks, when you think about it, we have had one phase of devaluation already, and then when the quick phase comes in, that's going to be a 1-2 punch, a double whammy. So when we look at it that way, folks, things are already bad. The bottom line of this, folks, is this story is in motion right now. And the unfortunate thing is that most American citizens have no clue that this is going on right now. They have no clue that the dollar is right now getting butchered by the deciders in the Federal Reserve and in the administration. All of you folks that worked your whole lives and put money in your IRAs, in your 401ks, and you're counting on your pensions to be there for you, I have sobering, truthful, and unfortunate news. You've worked hard through your blood, sweat, and tears, countless hours, through honest wages. But unfortunately, my friends, based on the information of what's going to happen to the dollar's health, the life savings, investments, and retirement funds that you're expecting, well, there's a good chance they're not going to be there in the value that you were anticipating. There's a very good chance that those of you that participated in financial planning and you sat down at your kitchen table with a financial planner and you were told that if you do it this way and you invest this much and put away this much, then you will be able to live off your retirement for X amount of years. Well, my friends, it's sad, but it's true. That pile is not going to be as large as you were hoping because of what's happening to the dollar right now. I'm sorry to have to say it, folks, but it's true. Now, here's where it can be deceptive and confusing, because some of you that saw some reductions in your stock portfolio after the crash a few years ago may have seen your money recover to where it once was or close to where it once was. But here's the unfortunate part. Let's say you had $100,000 in the bank, and then the stock market crashed a few years ago, and it went down to 75, 65, 55, and you had indigestion in 2008 when all of that happened. But since then, the stock market has performed favorably and your stock market wealth has returned to maybe $85, $95, or even $100,000. So you feel satisfied and happy. So your $100,000 investment has not really been growing very aggressively, but you have $100,000 and you've had it for 5 or 10 years. Well, folks, here's the sad truth about this one. But folks, that $100,000 does not buy the same amount of things here in America in 2011 as it did in 2008. And it certainly does not buy as much as it did in 2005 or 2003. Because when you take into account inflation, if you have $100,000 in the bank and in 1 year your country has 10% inflation, well, that $100,000 really just lost $10,000 in purchasing power. So it's really only worth $90,000. So you see, folks, the number on the bottom line of what you have in the bank does not tell the truth of the buying power. So a lot of people are still counting on their wealth, or they tell themselves, I have so much money in the bank. Well, right now the dollar's losing value. It doesn't buy as much as it did. And in the last several years, we have seen the purchasing power of the dollar really take a nosedive. Things in stores are becoming very, very expensive. Food is rising in price. Folks, over the past year, I have seen some foods go up 10, 15, 20% in 1 year. And I have a story that I'm going to be sharing that talks about those things. But before I do, I want to just talk a little more about the dollar losing value is going to wreak havoc on many people who are counting on the same purchasing power just a few years ago that haven't been paying attention. Folks, we're in uncharted territory right now. And those of you that perhaps have not been taking these matters to heart, I encourage you and I challenge you to really seek to preserve your savings and your wealth. Now, I'm not a financial consultant and I do not claim to be, but I'm just sharing my thoughts. Because to do nothing and to leave your money in a savings account, it's going to lose value. Now, I know that some of you that are listening are hearing a foreign language when I say that some of you have $100,000 in the bank, because I know that many of you have $0 in the bank. Some of you are unemployed. Some of you are living from paycheck to paycheck or from unemployment check to unemployment check. Perhaps you're on food stamps. Folks, I know that the financial demographic is all over the map for the listeners of this program, but I just felt the need to share that information because those of you that maybe do not have the wealth and the savings may have to join forces in the future with those that do have the financial means. Perhaps you will find yourself living with a friend that has more financial means than you. I know that sometimes people get angry and send me hate mail. Nathan, why do you address the people with money? I don't have any money. Don't you see? It's not fair. And the letter is almost implying that it's unfair for me to address those that have the means to make some investments and to buy food and gold and silver. Folks, people with better means may become arcs for those that do not have the means. And in this season that we're in right now, as I said, we're in uncharted territory. And I hope that the majority of you are Christians and you're living a life of faith and you're seeking the wisdom of God. And if you are a believer and you are a Christian, which is what I advise very seriously, because those that are not Christians are going to have a much harder time in this life and in the life to come. But if you are a Christian, then we know that we allow God to order our steps and that we trust in God to plan our lives and to lead us down a path that's going to be for our own good. And if that's the case, some of us may find ourselves in the season of purging. Possibly we will find ourselves going through trials that we never imagined that we would be going through. And some of you may find yourselves really in despair and confused, not understanding why God would allow these things to visit you. Well, my friends, if bad things are happening to you right now, and let me just put it in layman's term. If it seems like you are having perpetual, quote unquote, bad luck, it is not necessarily because God is mad at you or that God hates you. By the way, I don't believe in luck, folks. I believe in circumstances, and I believe that God ordains our lives and God allows events to happen to our lives because at times He needs to have events come into our lives to save us from ourselves. Because many times when people are on the journey of this life and maybe things are going well, maybe they have prosperity and maybe they have the Midas touch. They have all of these good fortunes, but the thing that they lack in is making efforts to live for God. And these people may call themselves Christians and attend church, but in reality, they're not living it. And every so often, they may whisper a prayer to God and say, God, I want to get closer to you. And then they forget they whispered the prayer and they continue in their regular life. Well, those prayers do get recorded in the Chronicles of God in heaven. And God knows that in order for them to get closer, possibly there are things in their life that are hindering that relationship. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have probably experienced great prosperity in your life. You've seen great wealth. You've had the toys, the gadgets, the things of this world, the shiny metal, the trinkets to adorn your body with, the new car smell and makeup that enhanced your beauty. But in the midst of all of that, your relationship with God was, well, it was pretty much non-existent. And in the back of your mind, you might have said, someday I'll try harder. I intend to when I get a little older, but right now I'm having too much fun. I just got to go out with the guys and hang out with them and go with them to those places that appeal to a man's desires. You know what I'm talking about, folks. And how many Christians have lived those type of lives? How many of you have lived that type of life? How many of you are still living that type of life? There's a good chance there's a few of you. But do not lose heart, my friend. Deep down inside, you know that you want to get close to God. You've admitted that you want to get close to God. And you desire to. You just, well, the urge comes and then it goes. And as you hear me talk about these things on these programs, part of you says, I know Nathan's telling the truth and I should get busy with God, but right now I just don't have the time. And my friends, it's those of us that God cares for, that God loves. And if God left us to our own devices in that situation, there are many of you that, well, when the time came for you to take your last breath and you went into the afterlife, you would be shocked that you didn't make it. There's a good chance that you won't make it in your present condition. God knows this, my friends. So in his infinite wisdom, he has devised a great way to save us from ourselves. And that entails allowing us to go down the road of purging. What does that mean? It's going to be different for all of us. According to that thing in our lives that keeps us away from him, God will do what it takes to take that thing out of your life, whether it's a material thing or whether it's a person, whether it's a relationship, whatever it takes, God will allow circumstances that are going to sting. And these circumstances, in order to save us from ourselves, have to sting. They will be shocking at times. Sometimes they cause pain. They cause heartache. Most of the time, they will cause great and dramatic change to happen to our lives. And as we look across the landscape of America right now, and of Europe, Australia, the West, it is evident that many people who once had confidence in the fortresses of life that they built around themselves are now finding themselves stripped of these things. They're now finding themselves on their own. They're finding that they've met calamity, financial hardship. Maybe it's through the loss of a job, the loss of a house, foreclosure, the repo man showed up, getting laid off, living on unemployment, having a budget that at one time placed you in the middle to upper middle class, now taking you down to just barely above poverty level, if even that. And as you go through this new season, maybe you have questions and you say, God, give me my car back, give me my job back, give me this or that. And whether or not God does it will be in his timing. But if you really meant it in the months and days or years past when you said, God, I want to get closer to you, but I can't do it. I don't know how. My friends, this season that many of you may be in right now is actually God in motion in your life. Because when you're flat on your back, my friends, it's easier to look up. And when you're down in the dumps, crawling, it's easier to be humbled. It's a lot easier. How many of us can testify that it's easier to be nicer to someone when we're looking up at them because we've been brought down rather than looking down on them because we're elevated and puffed up? My friends, I talk about this a lot. I talk about this season of purging. It says in the book of Isaiah, when the judgments of God are on the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. And that's what we're seeing right now. So I invite you to continue listening to these messages. Really allow yourself to be challenged. Really think about what I'm saying. If some of you are downcast and you're really discouraged, be encouraged. God is there. You're not alone. And if some of you may feel abandoned because things are just overwhelming, go to my website at watchmanscry.com and listen to the message 159. It's about trials at sea, but go listen to it and it will encourage you. And as you find yourself finally getting a grasp at what I'm talking about here, and as you find yourself finally getting a hold of your relationship with God in a new and a stronger way, you will find that God is much more real when you meet Him while you're being purged. He's much more real when you've been praying and crying out to Him with real tears. When you're downcast and sad, folks, that's the best time to get a hold of God. So don't give up. And my challenge to all of you that are listeners is that right now is the most opportune time to get a hold of God and get to know Him. Because, folks, this depression that we're in right now is just at the beginning in its intensity. It's going to get a lot harder. It's going to get rougher. The winds are going to blow harder. It's going to get darker. But if you can get a hold of God right now where you are, and in your relationship with Him, if you can start getting to know Him, if you can start getting familiar with your Bible, then you will be able to weather what's coming. Now, for those of you that are still comfortable, that are still wealthy, maybe you're very, very wealthy, maybe you're famous and popular and you're a celebrity, and perhaps you might be thinking, well, this is just going to happen to the others, but my place in life would not really allow me to lose my spot, because I'm pretty fortunate. I'm talented. My job's recession-proof. My position can weather any storm, because after all, I'm famous and wealthy. My friend, please do not allow yourself to be deceived. There is a God in this world, and it doesn't matter how wealthy anyone is. All of us are going to have to reckon with Him. So I also encourage you to be challenged to get close to God, because the economic apocalypse that is coming is going to affect the wealthiest among those in America. It's going to affect even the upper class. The more that a person has, the more they have to lose. And we're going to be hearing some very intense stories about how much wealth people lost in the next phase of the collapse and the crash. So I encourage you now, don't make God have to save you from yourself. Do it willingly. Jesus is just waiting to meet all of us. He loves you, my friend. So please take these matters to heart. Now, I ran across a story recently. It was in CNN Money, and I have it right here, and it's titled, Your Favorite Products, Now 20% Smaller. And it says, from hand soap to hot dogs, these staples have gotten smaller over the past few years, according to Consumer Reports. The magazine found packages reduced in size by as much as 20%. And then they had pictures of the containers that used to be on the store shelves maybe a year ago. And most items that we find in grocery stores, whether they're food or soaps or paper, they are all undergoing an evolution of packaging changes. And right here it has a picture of the old Ivory soap dishwashing liquid. And it says that it used to contain 30 fluid ounces. And right next to it is the new bottle, which is the same height, but they've gotten very tricky. They have carved grooves and made the bottle very oblong and irregular. And the new bottle actually looks pretty streamlined and it's attractive. But the amount of soap in the new bottle is 24 ounces. That means there's 20% less soap in the new bottle this year than there was last year, whenever the old one was for sale. So in this case right here, that's a 20% increase. The bottom line is this. You get less soap for spending the same amount of money. And that's the trend that is occurring across this country and even in other countries. Food is becoming very expensive, folks, but most people do not see it because they're not paying attention. And the marketers of these items are brilliant. They're being crafty. And at the same time, they're being deceptive. And it's only the individuals that are paying attention that are noticing these things. It goes on. It has a picture of Tropicana orange juice. And the old Tropicana container contains 64 ounces. And now the new container looks to be the same height. It even looks the same width, but now it contains 59 ounces. So that's a 8% reduction in juice. How many of you folks even notice that? You go to the store and you see that container and you don't pay attention. That's right, folks. It's no longer a gallon. So by these companies revamping their packaging, they're being very sly, because instead of prices just going up, they're keeping prices the same, but you get less food. Here's the bottom line, folks. When you get to the checkout, $100 today does not have as much food as a year ago. Now, you might have the same amount of containers, but some of them are going to be smaller, and the shopping cart's going to be much lighter. So please take note of that, folks. Now, what does that mean for us? What can we do about it? Well, there's nothing we can do about it. Food's going to keep climbing. But that's why I've been screaming and warning that food's going to go up. And I find it interesting that it's actually occurring in slow motion, and most people are in their stupor, and they have no clue that these things are happening. And it's amazing, folks. People cannot put two and two together. They cannot reason this out, that this is not just a little minor glitch in the world economy. This thing is major. So again, my friends, if you have people that mock you and make fun of you and laugh at you and say you're crazy, you're not crazy. I just read to you a report on these matters. In addition to that, Fox News recently did a report on how food is getting expensive, and let me play a portion of it for you right here. Listen to this, folks.
Food supplies. We have been tracking this story for a few days now, and it is getting quite some attention. Food supplies getting very tight, and on the commodity markets, food prices soaring to levels never before seen. It has been gradually showing up in our supermarkets, and you're going to pay for it in your pocketbook. And Fox Business Network's Eric Bolling has been warning about this and now says it could get much worse. We had you on two weeks ago.
Remember these? Remember this?
And it's happening. What exactly is happening globally that is affecting us in our local supermarket?
Yeah, we're having a confluence of bad things going on right now. Our supplies are already low in of food, corn, rice, coffee, sugar, wheat. Supplies low. Now we're finding out the USDA tells us that, guess what, the crops that we're expecting to come out in the next, at least the tool harvests, may be light as well, which means prices are on the rise, all coupled with, I don't know if you watch it, at the bottom of the screen once in a while you see an oil price go by, $92 a barrel, $91.48 right now as we speak. Those prices are going up. Here's the issue, Megan. When corn prices went up, when rice and wheat prices went up 2 years ago in 2008, it sparked food riots. Now, that was on the heels of $147 barrel of oil, $4 gasoline. We're only, when I say only, I mean only in relationship to 147, we're only at $92 a barrel. If we were to go back to $147 a barrel like last time, that would push all these prices 60% higher. That's a big problem because these prices are high right now on the wholesale level. They're making their way to the supermarket.
I mean, this is something that could affect us on many levels.
Not could, will affect us. You see this, I'm holding up rice right here because in 2008 when oil went to $147 a barrel, rice prices spiked to $25 per 100 metric tons. They're right now around 20. If we were to see that again last time, the food riots that you saw on the side of the screen a little while ago would pale in comparison this time because people aren't as well off. The last time this happened was on the heels of a very robust world economy. We're not there right now. They were actually giving out cards, credit cards, to buy rice so people wouldn't starve. It's a bad situation, yeah. Getting worse.
And now they're also talking about this flooding in Australia, where there's apparently a lot of cattle ranches that have been affected by the flooding.
Right.
And so now importers here in the United States that rely on that meat to fill orders for restaurants and so on are saying they're going to have to look elsewhere. And that may cause some problems because, you know, there's been some problems with importing meat from other places like South America. So now Americans could be affected in more ways than they know.
Let me show you how these things work. Australia is known for producing two things, a lot of meat and also a lot of wool. What happens with the meat? Meat prices rise. They've been going up. Wool prices, what else do you use besides wool as a complementary item or a commodity? Cotton. Cotton traded today, the highest it's traded in 147 years of trading, an all-time high. Prices affect each other, so when things like flooding happen in Australia or storms happen elsewhere, they push prices higher, and bottom line is your grocery bill is going to go up.
Yeah, it's all tied together. Eric Bolling, thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Isn't that something? Now they're starting to admit it. It's becoming mainstream, and I find it really surprising, actually, that the news is talking about these things. So those of you that have the opportunity, share this audio with your friends. Those of you that can, download it and share it, folks. I see that we've come to the halfway mark. After the break, folks, I'm going to talk about something that's very, very serious, the earth changes that are going on right now on this planet. I'm going to talk about why they're happening And also, we're going to talk about the potential for the New Madrid Fault having a major earthquake catastrophe, and we're going to talk about the ramifications of that. Don't go away, folks. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Now, we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Watchman's Cry Ministries would like to take a moment to say thank you to our sponsor, Steve St. Clair of Inner Health Botanicals. In these days of chemtrails, modified food, and chemical additives, it is more important than ever to do what you can to protect and improve on your health. So head on over to survivetothrive.net and check out their products. That's Survive to Thrive, S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2, T-H-R-I-V-E.net.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, January 25th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about the dollar's devaluation and how expensive food is starting to become. And it looks like the marketers and the packagers of a lot of the things that we buy in the grocery store are becoming shrewd. And they have their charade going on right now because they have changed the packaging for a lot of items. They've changed the weights of items. They've reduced the amount of volume in many items. So most of the shopping public is not really becoming bothered by the increase in food prices because they're not really noticing. But if many people started actually noticing, would they get disturbed? Why is that, folks? Why is it that a lot of people do not like to address reality? Is it because our culture has become a culture of a bunch of pretenders? Now, I'm going to talk about something right now that there's a potential for that may occur. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to occur or when it's going to occur, but the prophetic voices have been warning for several years that some major catastrophes were coming to this planet. When I say prophetic voices, I'm talking about people who spend time with God and who hear from God. So let's talk about these things. Right now, there are many, many odd anomalies happening to this planet. So here's the question. Why is it happening? Is it the sun? Is it HAARP, the military weather experimental complex up in Alaska? HAARP, H-A-A-R-P? Is it a combination of both? Could the sun actually kill birds like that? Well, I guess possibly if a coronal mass ejection got through our bubble of protection, the magnetosphere that's around the Earth. And if so, does that mean that the magnetosphere is deteriorating? And if it is deteriorating, then that leads us to another question. Does that mean that all of the assumptions are true about Planet X or about the rogue cosmic body that is approaching, whether it's a neutron star or a failed star? You know, there's different theories about Planet X, that rogue planet or star that revolves around the sun here in our solar system every 3,500 years, and now it is approaching us once again, and that's why we are witnessing Earth changes. Folks, there are things happening right now that we cannot ignore. We cannot just set them aside and say, oh, it's just something weird. Well, you know what, folks? There are a lot of individuals who are very smart who are concerned about it. Some of the proponents of Planet X or the rogue star have actually said that as it gets closer and closer, we're going to start seeing more anomalies happen on Earth. And then recently, there's a report that just came out. I have it right here. It's just several days old. It says that the sun rose 2 days early in Greenland. And that's never happened before. It's baffling scientists. And the experts have no clue why it happened 2 days early. Does that mean that somehow the Earth is tilted more than it usually does? Is that what it means? Is the axis wobbling somewhat? And if it is, I would consider that a pretty substantial anomaly. Also, here's another story. The magnetic poles are also shifting. The magnetic north of the Earth is slowly moving toward Russia. Now, some of the events that are going on seem to have the involvement of man. The uh-oh moment of the Gulf spill, I know that BP has put it to rest. The media has since buried it and placed the tombstone over it. Now, there are some rumors that the reason that happened is because the Gulf of Mexico seabed is actually ruptured and it's fragmented, it is cracked, and this crack that seems to be spreading in the Gulf of Mexico is actually attached. It goes up the Mississippi and it becomes part of the New Madrid Fault. What does that mean? Well, according to some leaked information, there are some rumors that there is seismic activity that is causing this whole episode, and the New Madrid Fault is going to experience the end result of a lot of this fracturing. Now, if Planet X or the rogue star or whatever it is out in space is making its way here, as some scientists have rumored, I have been told by some people who are well acquainted with some of these officials in high places that know about these things, and most of the scientists that would know about this are not talking about it, because I have also heard from some credible sources that many of these scientists have been given a gag order. But here's what the information is, folks. As the Planet X rogue object gets closer and closer to our solar system, it is going to start affecting the seismic activity on this Earth, and we will start noticing with increasing frequency volcanoes erupting and the plates of the Earth slipping and causing earthquakes because of the gravitational tug from the cosmic object, and with the end result being that we are going to see some very violent and catastrophic earthquakes occur on this planet. And now saying that, I want to say this. This is what brings me to the discussion on the New Madrid Fault. Let's talk about that. The New Madrid Fault is about 180 to 200 miles long, and it travels up the Mississippi. So 8 states are affected by this fault line. The 8 states are Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama. Those of you that live in the area of the New Madrid Fault, most likely you have heard about the New Madrid Fault, and you're probably very well versed on how damaging an earthquake could be in that zone. Now, it was about 200 years ago in 1811 when the New Madrid area had a major earthquake in that region that I just mentioned. The earthquake that happened then was very high on the seismic scale, but because the population was not very high at the time, and cities were not as developed, the damage was minimal. But historically, it still made a substantial visitation when it happened. I believe the initial quake was over 7 point something on the Richter scale, and there were approximately 5,000 aftershocks after the initial earthquake occurred. The Mississippi River flowed backwards when it happened, so it was a major quake back then. Now, scientists, seismologists, and those that study these things have been saying that the New Madrid area is now due for another major earthquake. And when they say major, they're talking about something over 7 to almost 8 on the Richter scale. So this would be a major, major quake. The zone affected would be the entire area along the 200-mile stretch of the Mississippi. And the end result would be massive, massive damage to that area of the country. It would affect 8 states initially, and then there would also be residual damage to the outer states. Now, I want to talk about that right now. FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security has placed a public solicitation to gather the information on the availability and the bidding for supplies to service the area of the New Madrid Fault in the event of a major earthquake. And you can go to their website and read this. FEMA is requesting that contractors supply them with MREs. Those are those meals ready to eat packets. And they are asking for 140 million MREs. They're gathering information on what the cost would be and the availability, how long it would take to get them. But it's very interesting that the number they're looking for is 140 million. The way it breaks down is 7 million people would each be given 2 MREs per day. So that would equal 14 million MREs. And they would be fed for 10 days. So 14 million times 10 days is 140 million. In addition to that, they're also requesting information on obtaining blankets, and they're also wanting to find vendors that can supply various fuels and then also hydration supplies so that people can be able to get water. Now, in addition to that, I have another request for information. I actually went to their website, and it's a request for information by the Department of the Navy and by the Department of Homeland Security. And get this, folks, they're seeking information to provide them with underwater body bags. As I'm reading it right here, it says they're seeking information on commercially available underwater body bags used, now watch this, folks, used for the recovery operations of bodies and body parts. So here's the question. Why are they doing that? Is that a routine thing? Is that normal? Is it always routine for Homeland Security to want body bags to collect body parts? Folks, I'm an inquiring mind. If it is routine, then what kind of event would cause body parts to be underwater that diving teams would have to go over and fish them out and put them inside bags? What kind of event would do that, folks? That one's interesting. But for FEMA to be asking for 140 million MREs, and then they're also asking for 14 million blankets. So the request also goes on, and it says that the reason for the request is on a catastrophic disaster event within the New Madrid Fault system for a survivor population of 7 million to be utilized for the sustainment of life during a 10-day period of operations. It also goes on to say that they need to have at least 36 months of remaining shelf life upon delivery. So it has to be viable for 3 years. Interesting, huh, folks? Do they know something? Is it possible that they know something? I don't know, folks. I don't want to just throw out empty accusations without proof, but I find it interesting that that request would be made. Now, there's another report that I have come across here, and it's in front of me, and I'm going to read this here. This report has to do with the seismic zone that we're talking about, the New Madrid Fault Line. Now, a little over a year ago, the University of Illinois did a study on what the actual effects of an earthquake in the New Madrid Fault Zone would do to that area of the country. So you can actually download this report. Those of you with a pen and paper, let me give you the name of it, and you can download it yourself. But I printed out a large portion of it. It's actually in 4 volumes, and I have volume 1 right here. Some of the volumes they're huge, folks. Some of them are 150 megabytes. There's 4 of them. But this first one that I have is 153 pages of the report on what they would expect to occur. Now, this information was then given to FEMA, and It's amazing, folks. The information in this report actually coincides with FEMA's shopping list. 7 million people would need MREs. So let me share this report. First of all, the name of it is Impact of New Madrid Seismic Zone. And I'll give you a chance to write that down. Impact of New Madrid Seismic Zone, Earthquakes on the Central USA. So that's the name of it. You got that, folks? Now, let me share some of the things in here because, folks, as I share this, I want to say one thing. This is not Nathan giving his assumptions. This is the report that a university came up with that was given to Homeland Security and to FEMA. So some of the things I'm about to share are going to be very, very sobering, and even you might find them scary. So here's the summary on the damage if and when this earthquake happens. Now, it says the results indicate that Tennessee, Arkansas, and Missouri are the most severely impacted. Now, folks, if you happen to live in these areas, I'm not saying the earthquake is going to happen for sure. I'm just telling you what this report says. So take these things to heart. But if perchance after I share these things over the next few days, you find yourself constantly thinking about it, perhaps it's God trying to tell you to be prepared in the event of this or maybe even relocate. I don't know. Now, again, the results of this study indicate that Tennessee, Arkansas, and Missouri will be very impacted when this earthquake happens. Illinois and Kentucky are also going to be impacted, but not as severely as the previous three states. In addition to those five states, also Alabama and Mississippi will be impacted. Now, if and when this event happens, it says nearly 715,000 buildings are going to be damaged in the eight-state study area. It also says that after the event happens, FEMA is going to need 42,000 search and rescue personnel working in 1,500 teams. So each team is going to have 28 people. And these 1,500 teams are going to go out through this eight-state region to try to find and try to come to the aid of people that are hurting. Now, on paper, that might sound good. There was an earthquake in the New Madrid area, and FEMA is there with their 42,000 search and rescue people. Does that mean everything's going to be fixed on the second day or things will get back to normal soon? No, it doesn't. Folks, this is going to be a catastrophe. And let me just say this. If this thing really occurs to the scale that's in this report, which is a 7-point earthquake or higher, it's going to change the economy of America. It is going to stop America in its tracks. And I would even venture to say that it is going to cause much damage to the American economy and maybe even the world economy because it's going to affect so many things when it happens. Now, 3,500 bridges are going to be damaged. And then also 425,000 breaks to pipelines. That's 500,000 pipelines. Roughly 15 major bridges will be unusable, so the bridges are going to be gone. Within 3 days of the earthquake, 7 million people will be displaced. Out of those 7 million, that means that they're going to need food. They're going to need to have water from FEMA. So 7 million, and also 2 million people will need to seek temporary shelter. So 2 million people will need to relocate. And as I describe some of the necessities that people are going to need, some of the services that people take for granted are not going to be around, think about your to-do list. Think about your preparation list. And think about how if you were in this event, what you would need to try to survive, to try to sustain yourself. 177 fire stations will be utterly destroyed. And watch this, folks. Police stations, 136 police stations will be flattened, gone, destroyed, no more. And 32 hospitals will be completely destroyed. So in the event of emergencies, most people generally automatically think that, well, underdog, the fireman is going to come to the rescue. All I have to do is say, help, help, and they'll be there. But in an event like this, folks, the actual helpers, the public servants, the hospital workers, the firemen, the EMTs, many of them are not going to be available because their resources are going to be totally hampered and destroyed. So now that's going to throw a cog in the wheel. How do you get help from a fireman when their firehouse is burning down? So houses that may have collapsed and people are crying to be helped, well, the public sector is going to have a challenge helping the public when they themselves need help. Okay, it also goes on to river crossings. There's going to be 1,250 bridges completely destroyed in this area when this earthquake happens. 1,200. Folks, what is that going to do for the ability of people to try to get around, relocate, bug out, go somewhere else? And get this, folks, 143 airports will be damaged. So planes are not going to be landing, not if the runways are damaged and cracked. When we looked at the events of Katrina, how many of you can remember that the semi-trucks full of ice were trying to get through the war zone in the New Orleans outlying area and the inner areas, and they were met with a lot of challenges? Eventually, the trucks got through. But, folks, they were challenged to get through. I believe it took them several days, even 4, 5, 6 days to get in. And that's with all of the roads and bridges intact. In this event, there's going to be over 1,000 bridges out, and we're going to have airports that are going to have damage, over 100. How is FEMA going to deliver all the food when airports are damaged and bridges are out? You see, folks, as we paint this picture and look at how serious it is, this is significant. Now, this is going to limit the ability for water to come in, and it's going to also affect the ability of air travel. So the lack of airports that function is going to restrict the movement of rescue workers. It's also going to impede on evacuation. So delivery of water, ice, and supplies is going to be hindered. That means that fuel is not going to be able to come in. That means that there's going to be giant traffic jams of millions of people that want to get out. But how long can people wait without food and water in this scenario? And that brings us to another question. Most people do just-in-time shopping, and most people who live in the land of pretend don't really think it important to have extra food and water saved up. So those individuals are going to find themselves thirsty and hungry. Many people are going to succumb to starvation and thirst. Now, it goes on. It says the utility infrastructure is going to be compromised. Over 9,700 communication facilities are going to be damaged. That means phone facilities. There's not going to be telephones to call. And I wonder how this would affect cell phones. If cell phone towers are dependent on electricity and the power's out, will the cell phones work? So will the internet work? Most likely not. Will phones work? Most likely not. There's not going to be any checking in from people, you know, calling their relatives. I'm okay, Mom. It's just a little rough. It's dark, but I'm okay. In addition to that, it says that water pipes, water lines in this entire region is going to need over 280,000 repairs. That's how many water leaks there's going to be, folks. Almost 300,000. In addition to that, gas lines, natural gas is going to need 130,000 repairs. Folks, I can't even imagine the logistical nightmare to try to get workers with their backhoes and their repair equipment to dig down into the ground because natural gas is leaking. And if there's fractures in the earth and there's a gas line that's been ruptured, folks, this is a very, very volatile situation. There's going to be fires erupting all through this 8-state area because of this. Now, in order for them to restore the pipelines, they need to get to them. But if there's huge fires, well, how do the fire trucks get to them? There's going to be 280,000 water lines that are busted. So when fire trucks go to the corner fire hydrant and want to put the fire out in the house, there's no water pressure. When you think about it, this is going to be very chaotic. It's going to cause great, great social unrest. When there's no water, people are going to get more and more discouraged. How do people behave in this scenario? Well, it says that immediately after the earthquake, 2.6 million houses will be without power. In addition to that, over 1 million households will not have water. And this report says the outages of water and power may last several weeks or even several months. Imagine that, folks. Months without water in a city? Months without power? So in that situation, where do you go? And how can you go? Because if power's out, the gas pumps aren't working. How far can you go in a tank of gas? If you see the New Madrid Fault on a map in the area of the Mississippi, if you are on the east side of the Mississippi, then you would head east. If you're on the west side, you head west. But you do not try to cross the Mississippi because the bridges are out. Plus, you're going to be going through another war zone. So for the families and the people that have family members on the other side, this is going to be a nightmare. So you see, in looking at this picture, we can see that there's going to be many, many refugees on foot. There's going to be many vagabonds traveling only with their possessions and the clothes on their back if they want to leave their homes. 86,000 total casualties are expected for a 2 a.m. event, and a large portion of these casualties will be minor injuries. Approximately 63,000 will be from minor injuries. So I assume that's lacerations, broken bones, but it's 63,000. Aside from the 63,000 minor injuries, 3,500 people will die out of the 86,000. Also, out of the 86,000, almost 20,000 will be serious injuries that need hospitalization, that need the EMTs, these are people that need to be rescued. So these are severe injuries. So out of the 3,500 deaths, those are the ones that happen with the event, on the minute of the event. But it goes on to say that there's going to be a lot more deaths occur because of injuries and people will not be able to get help from the hospital. So that number of 3,500 is a minimal number, and that's not even a realistic number. I believe that based on what we're looking at here, folks, we are looking at tens of thousands of people that are going to die when this happens. See, folks, there's many things to consider. And if you might be saying, Nathan, you're scaring me, you're giving me fear. You know, my friends, we need to have an element of healthy fear to motivate wise choices. Now, I'm about out of time, but I want to address something real quick. I need to address the accusation that some of you might be thinking right now. Nathan, you're a fearmonger. That's all you are. If you might be thinking that, my friends, let me say this. What does that mean, fearmonger? Well, that means you're spreading fear. You're scaring people. Well, you know what, folks? If I am spreading fear, all fear is not evil. Yes, God has not given us the spirit of fear. There is a type of fear that you need to have to really know God. There's a fear that you need to experience to really have a relationship with God. You know what that is, my friends? The fear of the Lord. And we need to be fearful of Him. You need to be fearful of Him. In the book of Isaiah chapter 8, it says that God needs to be our fear and our dread. So am I a fear mongerer? I hope so, folks. I hope I'm doing my job to share the fear of the Lord. If you fear Him, then there's no reason to fear anything else. If you fear God, then there's no reason to fear the events that may come around you and come upon you. In addition to having a healthy fear of God, there is also the challenge of being wise, of being vigilant, and of being prepared. And that's what we're talking about right here, my friends. A lot of people are sitting on their hands and they may never listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, they're going to be a statistic. They're going to be a part of the coming body count. And when I say that, I'm not saying that to fearmonger. I'm telling you the truth, folks. We're going to see judgment in the future that is going to entail that as well. But my friend, I don't want to see you succumb to that. I want to see you reliant on God, trusting in Him, listening to His voice, and following His will. You can do it, my friends. So seek God. All right, folks. Well, it looks like we're out of time. I'm going to have to go. I know that this was a serious program, but that's what this is about. Survive to thrive. The watchman's cry. Crying out so that people can be warned and make changes. All right, folks. Real quick, this program is supported by listeners like you. If you appreciate the things that I'm sharing, if you appreciate the mission that I have and the work that I'm trying to do, then we appreciate your support, my friends. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Well, my friends, we're out of time. Stay safe. Seek God. Be well. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.